on It's Supernatural. Hear the story of the supernatural rescue of a Jewish stockbroker lost in the New Age, separated from his family, and losing his sanity.
Do angels exist? Are healing miracles real? Is there life after death? Can people get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 25 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My name is Sid Roth, and I have Lonnie Lane here. The thing that we share in common, we're both Jewish, and Lonnie has four generations of her Jewish family that believe Jesus is the Messiah. Every member of my immediate Jewish family believes Jesus is the Messiah. I say that's the norm. But I wanted to tell you where this great desire for the supernatural has come from. You see, before I knew the Messiah and knew the reality of the true supernatural of God, I was wandering around like a blind person. Lonnie, I remember as a young child having a conversation with myself. And this was the conversation. Did you ever have a conversation with yourself?
All the time. That's the way you get the best, the answers you want.
Well, anyway, so I was home alone. My parents used to gamble and play poker. Hmm. And so they were out. I was by myself. And a question popped into my mind. The question was, what happens when you die? Out of curiosity, did you ever think about this as a young Jewish woman?
Oh, it used to worry me all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, good. So
oh,
I
yes.
wasn't Miss Sugar. Oh, okay. So this question pops in my mind. What happens when you die? I'm a very logical type person. In Judaism, we believe that we've been a good Jew and lived a good life. We go to a place called heaven, but no one knows a whole lot about this sort of thing. But that's kind of what we were told by our rabbis. But you see, I was too young. I didn't know anything, although I came from a good Orthodox Jewish background. I didn't know such things. I was too young. And so my logical brain went with a conversation like this. Well, when you die, you cease to exist. Then my imagination would say, Lonnie, what would life be like if whatever is me doesn't exist anymore? And as a little 6-7-year-old, it was such an objectionable thought. I did the only intelligent thing. I blocked it from my mind until many years later. I was mentored. Do you know who I was mentored by? Television. And this is what television taught me. If I could have money, I could be happy. Now you see the gray hair? I found out money can't buy the most important things in life. Money can't buy love. No, it can't. It can buy companionship, but it can't buy love. Money can't buy health. Money can't buy peace. And money can't allow you to hear God's voice. And money will not allow you to know for sure what's going to happen when you die before you die. There's hope and knowing. I like knowing better, but I was taught if I became a millionaire, I would be happy. So my goal, Lonnie, was to be a millionaire before I was age 30. And when I reached age 29, I was married, had a child, had a good job, account executive at a major stock brokerage house in the United States. I would have retired a millionaire, but I figured, oh, 30, my life is shot. I mean, I'm an old man at 30, and I wasn't a millionaire. So I did something that I wasn't happy about, not proud about, but I was very selfish. And all I cared about was me. I left my wife, I left my daughter, I left my job, and I went searching for happiness.
Because you didn't make
Because I knew I wouldn't may have my $1 million to be happy before age 30.
So you had to go look for something else to be happy about.
Yeah, well, I had an early midlife crisis.
Uh-huh.
And so I got a job in another place. And one of my salesmen came to me one day and said, Sid, a friend of mine has just taken a New Age meditation course, and as a result, he knows things that were never programmed into his mind. Mm. And I thought, that sounds kind of interesting to me. I'm going to take the same course he's taking and see if it works for me. Because if I know things, then maybe I can know things about the stock market and make a lot of money. You know, again, I'm still thinking money.
Well, you think that there's power in being able to have some power over your life.
And so I take this course, and they teach me through mental exercises how to be almost hypnotize myself, lower my brain waves. And when I'm in this docile, non-combative type of state, they said, invite an imaginary friend into your head. And I did this. And they said, I know, but listen, what did I know? You know, a famous rabbi said, if a blind man leads another blind man, won't they both fall into a ditch? You know, so anyway, they had an acid test at the end of this course. They gave me someone's name. I had no way of knowing anything about them, just the name. And on the back of the card, it said what was wrong with them. And I saw a little, I thought, this isn't going to work for me. I saw a little stick figure. And I saw an X over this woman's left breast, and I just blurted out, this woman has cancer of the left breast. And the guy looked at me and said, that's exactly, and I knew this voice I was hearing was giving me intelligence that my mind had never had programmed. And I was really happy over this. But then I got something more than I bargained for. These powers started increasing. I wasn't even trying to do this. For instance, a man walks into my office. He said, Sid, my partner and I have been observing you. And I knew this guy very casually. He said, we have an extra office, secretary, telephone. If you ever want to go into business for yourself, we'll give it to you free. I said, Lonnie, this is the greatest power in the world. I'm so excited over this power. I now can make my $1 million, and I now can be happy and live happily ever after. Don't go away. Be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural.
Our world is rife with comparisons about what separates us. Day after day, we go about our lives with tunnel vision. But Scripture tells us how Messiah broke down the wall between Jew and Gentile, allowing for the creation of one new man, one new humanity. Log on to SidRoth.org today and learn how one new man is the key to unlocking God's greatest blessings.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Lonnie Lane, two Jewish people that happen to hear God's voice and know that Jesus is, in fact, the King of the Jews, the Jewish Messiah. But I didn't always know that. I came from a good Jewish background, and Lonnie has a lot in similarity in what I'm describing, especially your brother. He was involved in the New Age, so I'm involved in this New Age. His power is growing. This businessman offers me a free office, free rent, free secretary. I mean, this is wonderful. But this businessman had an agenda all of his own, and I didn't even realize it. I thought it was my power that was drawing these good things to myself. But it wasn't. This man was one of these born-again Christians. And he heard God's voice. And God told him to offer me that office. Well, one day he gets really upset with me. And he walks up to me and he says, Sid, do you know you're involved in spiritual adultery? And I said, no. Well, Lonnie, how would you like someone to tell you that? Yeah. No, I don't know that I'm involved in spiritual adultery. And he says, yeah. Take a look at the Torah in Deuteronomy 18th chapter. Read it for yourself.
Well, God, now let me ask you a question. What did Torah mean to you at this point?
It didn't mean diddly to me.
Okay.
To be quite candid with you. However, it did say it. It did say it was an abomination to go to psychics and fortune tellers and try to communicate with the dead and all the things that all my Jewish friends were doing and having fun with and reading books on and watching on television. And it says in the days of Moses, I would have been stoned to death. So here I am.
You had to deal with that.
Yeah, here I am in trouble with my marriage, in trouble with my job. I left this wonderful job. And now I'm in trouble with God, assuming that God is really interested in me as an individual, assuming that the Torah is really from God. And I don't know any of this, but just in case, Lonnie, just in case, I go into neutral gear and I say, okay, I'm going to just read the Bible a little bit, find out more about my own Jewish scriptures.
Who was God to you at this point?
God was a fire.
A fire?
Yeah. My father told me the story of Moses and the burning bush, so God was a fire. It's kind of hard to get close to a fire.
Yeah.
And so I start reading the Bible and not using this voice that I was tapped into, and I got the shock of my life. This voice had a mind of its own. It started cursing me. And I knew. It was one of these things I knew. I knew that it was evil. I knew that the Torah was telling me the truth, that it was an abomination to be involved in the New Age. And I, let me tell you, last thing I was looking for is Jesus. Last. All I wanted to do was close this door that I'd opened in the New Age. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't know what to do. If I went to my parents who would have given their life for me, they couldn't help me. They would have sent me to a psychiatrist. What could a psychiatrist do? I'm hearing voices, doctor. Hey, I didn't have anywhere to go. And so I called my wife. My wife, by the way, was raised Southern Baptist, became an agnostic in college with all the atheistic professors, and then converted to Orthodox Judaism when we got married. So as you might say she was a Southern Baptist agnostic Orthodox Jew. But I figured every Southern Baptist agnostic Orthodox Jew knew Jesus, right? Well, I called her up because we're separated, and I said, Joyce, pray for me. Things are bad. I wasn't even going to tell my parents what was going on. I wasn't going to tell my wife what was going on. For sure, I wasn't going to tell my rabbi what was going on. I had nowhere to go. And I went to bed on the worst night of my life. And remember the young boy I told you about that had these thoughts about death, and it was so awful to think about whatever is me not being here anymore. It was such, but life was too hard. I was one of these positive thinkers, Lonnie. I was one of these people that I could not relate to someone with a mental breakdown. I could not, they're weak people. I could do anything I could set my mind to.
I could accomplish it.
Yeah, but every one of us is human. And every one of us has a breaking point. And death looked better than life. It was too hard. I just literally threw in the towel. And when I threw in the towel, I prayed a two-word prayer. Two words. Jesus, help. Because these Christian friends told me he was stronger than this evil I had opened myself up to. And when I prayed that prayer, Jesus, help, I went to bed, and I honestly did not care whether I lived or died. But when I woke up the next morning, that fear that was so tangible you could cut it with a knife, the phone would ring, I'd shake like that. I was so afraid. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of death. I was afraid of life. I was afraid of everything. All that fear, it was gone. It literally, it just, I don't know where it went. It went. And I knew it had to do with this Jesus. And then I heard the voice of God for the first time in my life. And this is what God said. I hate divorce. Return to your wife and daughter. And I was so grateful to God, the peace that I felt. I understand when people have had experiences with God and they talk about peace. I've never, ever, it was what I was looking for my whole life. I've never, ever had any kind of peace like that before. My whole life I didn't have peace like that. It was the most wonderful to be in God's presence. There is nothing this earth has to compare. And so I returned to my wife and daughter, and as my mother says, I became a mensch. And my mother was so happy that the marriage was restored, but my Jewish father, that's another story. We'll be right back after this word. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. Many viewers report testimonies of miracles, signs and wonders, and healings as a result of watching It's Supernatural.
Sid, one morning while watching your show at Supernatural, you said somebody's hip has just been healed. After you said those words, I got up from the couch and discovered that my hip pain was gone.
If you've been touched through watching It's Supernatural, share your testimony at sidroth.org/praise.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Sid Roth here with Lonnie and Lane, two Jewish people that are madly in love with Jesus, Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. When I was talking about the peace that I experienced, you made an interesting observation, Lonnie.
It's just, it's never circumstantial. The peace of God is unlike anything that you can obtain.
It doesn't matter what's going on in your life.
It really doesn't.
And it's not being an ostrich either, because when you're in that peace of God, you're in God's presence. And when you're in God's presence, who can come against you? What can come against you? Nothing can come against you. And by the way, remember that young man that was so afraid of death? Let me tell you something. This life is a blink of the eye compared to eternity that has no end. But I'm experiencing a little bit of that eternity in this life. So I have no fear of death. And when you have no fear of death, you have no fear of anything. Oh, I don't want to hurt. I would hurt just like anyone else, whether it's emotionally or whether it's physically. But I have such trust and faith in God. I'm never alone.
For people who don't understand that, what does that mean? You're going to die one day. You're physically going to die. But you know that there's a whole destiny for you eternally.
Yeah.
To be with the Lord.
The Jewish prophet Daniel talks about it. Daniel says, those that are buried in the dust, some shall rise to everlasting life. That's eternity. Everlasting means it never ends. That's eternity. Some shall rise to everlasting life, and some to everlasting condemnation, meaning that whatever choice we make in this life, it affects us throughout all of eternity. Well, as I said, my mom, she was proud of her son, but my dad, that was another story. I want to go to a clip right now of my life story video where I talk about my dad. My mother loved me and would give me the chicken soup no matter what. I could do no wrong, no wrong. She wouldn't believe in Jesus, but she loved me. And after many years, one day she looked at me and she said, Sid, I've observed your life, how your marriage, your mind, everything about you was a mess, but I still loved you. But I've seen the peace that you walk in, and I want that peace. And my father, who I had a very difficult relationship with before I knew the Messiah, and even after, it was sort of like I betrayed everything he stood for, and he was ashamed that I was a believer in the Messiah, that I was public in my... He tried to bribe me. He said, I'll give you new suits. I'll pay for you to go to law school. I'll do anything you want. Just renounce this Jesus.
Knowing firsthand the power of Yeshua, Sid could not give in to his father's bribe. The feud was inflamed even more when an article in the Washington Daily News exposed his beliefs to the nation. His father was outraged. In defense of his convictions, Sid appeared on healing evangelist Catherine Kuhlman's television program. After the death of his mother, father and son were forced to speak.
And he said, would I go to the synagogue with him and say prayers honoring my mother? It's called a Kaddish for a year. And I knew my mother was in heaven. I didn't have to go pray those prayers. So I was about ready to say no. And I felt like God said to me, do not do this for your mother. Do this for your father. And so I went for a year with my father every morning. We'd have breakfast after and to the Orthodox synagogue. And I remember the rabbi's son said to my father, I didn't hear this. My father told me. And he was telling someone else. I didn't even hear this. He said, you know, I don't like what your son believes, but there are few sons that would do what your son did for you. My father was proud of me.
Near the end of his life, Sid's father became very sick. One day, for no apparent reason, Sid felt a tangible presence of God surround him. 24 hours a day for many days, Sid experienced this special presence of God as it overflowed from his spirit. Then, the phone rang.
One day I got a call from my sister, who I might add is also a Messianic Jew, and she said, "It looks bad. Dad's in intensive care in the hospital. Let's go there." And I went there, and the doctor told me he could die at any moment. And I said, "Dad, Mom is in heaven. Wouldn't you like to go to heaven too?" And he couldn't speak at this point. His body was eaten away with cancer, and he could just almost whisper. And I said, "Would you like to make Jesus your Messiah and Lord?" And he said, "Yes."
I am so blessed. But you might say, "That's good, Sid. But what about me?" I wrote a song many years ago. I used to be a songwriter, and the song was called "There Must Be Something More." And I remember the words. The words went like this: "Because I work, eat, sleep, and that's the way it goes. Because I work, eat, sleep, and that's the way it goes. There must be something more." And if you're an artist like Lonnie Lane is, or a songwriter like I was, we reflect what's in our heart when we create. And that's what my heart was reaching out for. I didn't know what this something more was. No one told me about Jesus. But I'm so grateful to God. And that's why I want you to think for yourself. I want you to know the facts. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, written 800 years before Jesus came to earth. I read that to my Orthodox Jewish father. And my father said, "Stop. You're reading about Jesus." My Orthodox Jewish father knew that the 53rd chapter of Isaiah described Jesus perfectly. It goes like this: "Who will believe the report of the prophets? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He'll have no form nor comeliness. And when we Jewish people see him, there'll be no beauty that we should even desire him. He'll be despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we will hide our face. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities, the sins, the wrongdoings of us all." When I read that, and when I read Jeremiah 31:31, which says, "Behold, the days come in which I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their forefathers, which they violated anyway. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I, God, will remember their sins no more, and they will know me." I can tell you that as a Jewish man, I know God. Mm-hmm. Lonnie Lane can tell you as a Jewish woman, she knows God.
That's right.
I can tell you that four generations of Lonnie's Jewish family know God. I can tell you every member, my Jewish mother, my Jewish father, my Jewish sister, my Jewish brother-in-law, my Jewish wife, my Jewish daughter, every member of my immediate Jewish family knows that Jesus is the Messiah and knows God. The question I have for you is, do you know God? I have some good news. You don't have to be Jewish to believe in Jesus. It kind of helps, but you don't have to be Jewish to believe in Jesus. Think for yourself. Ask God to show you the truth. Ask the question. Ask God the question. Don't ask me the question. Don't ask your rabbi your question. Don't ask your Christian friend the question. Ask God the question. That's fair. That is fair. That's being a mensch. God is Jesus, the Messiah. Show me in a way I'll understand, and I will follow you. If you'll, with an honest heart, ask God an honest question, he will give you an honest answer. Lonnie, $1 million. Give up Jesus.
Not for anything. $1 million or any
$2 million, $10 million.
Any circumstances, only right here in this world. I've got Jesus forever.
Me too. What about you? Do you have that type of a peace? Do you have that type of a love? Whoa, there's nothing to compare. Absolutely nothing. Nothing.
Amen.
The Supernatural Mentoring Kit is finally here. It's a treasure chest of life-changing resources. It's been assembled, prayed over to help you fulfill your God-given destiny on earth. Hello, this is Sid Roth. I want to mentor you in the supernatural. You see, my heart's desire is to help you walk under an open heaven where God's supernatural favor, His blessings, His health, His biblical prosperity, and His vision for your life, they'll be normal. In the months ahead, I want to help you fulfill your destiny and your purpose on earth.
Call now and get this one-of-a-kind mentoring kit from Sid Roth's School of the Supernatural. Never before has any ministry offered something like this to their monthly partners.
When you open the box, you're going to immediately see a special message from me welcoming you as a monthly partner with my prayer for you to begin unlocking the door to the supernatural.
You will receive this authentic Jewish mezuzah specially designed for our monthly partners. Inside are special prayers to unlock God's blessings for you and your loved ones. Also inside is a microfiche containing millions of names of unsaved Jewish families. Place the mezuzah on your doorpost or in a prominent place. Use it as a point of contact as you pray for your own needs and for the salvation of millions of unsaved Jewish families you are helping to reach with the gospel through your monthly support. You'll get this distinctive Meshpukah mug reminding everyone that you are one of Sid Roth's Meshpukah, a part of the family with a supernatural Jewish heart. Receive 35 powerful healing scripture cards so you can meditate on God's promises for you and your entire family. Open the door to the supernatural and you'll find your first monthly mentoring DVD. It includes a mentoring guide with questions to help you fully absorb the content and for you to write your personal thoughts. You'll hear teaching on subjects including healing, how to receive your breakthrough, how to work with angels, seeing into the glory realm, prophecy, and much more. You'll get a special membership key code that will allow you to access a web link, giving you exclusive access to behind-the-scenes mentoring seminars filmed at our International Media and Mentoring Center. Also included is your first bi-monthly newsletter and so much more. Meshpukah Gold and Halutzin members receive this special DVD, How to Walk in Revival Every Day, plus this daily prayer of cleansing and consecration. Halutzin members receive their own beautiful distinctive mug, plus this beautiful Halutzin menorah pendant and keychain. Don't miss out on getting your own mentoring kit from Sid Roth's School of the Supernatural. You can get this incredible kit with your first gift of only $25, plus $25 shipping and handling. If you sign up using our Angel Express, we'll waive the $25 shipping fee. Call or you can send your check for $50 to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number P9013N or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.